Well, this was long, long time ago, you know, when people who were hard of hearing, they had those ear trumpets. You know? And she was touring through the Highlands in Scotland. Comes Sunday morning, she wants to go to church. So she goes to church, and she's sitting down here in the front row. Service is about ready to begin, and she gets out that ear trumpet, sits up there, and one of the ushers comes up to her and says, "Lassie." She looks around at him and says, "We're glad you've come visiting and all, but one toot and you're out." Yeah, one of my Scottish jokes. I don't have a lot of them, but that's my best one, probably, because that's really the only one. Yeah, I think I said that. Yeah, on the trumpet, put ear trumpet. Lord. Lord, we thank you for joy. We thank you for laughter, Lord. And we just thank you. We come together here this evening, Lord, and we can just come into your house and enjoy each other's company. We can just cast off cares. We can cast off burdens. And those things would just come against us on a daily basis. And just have a little R&R, just a little rest. Lord, we thank you for this time together. Bless our time, Lord. And we thank you for the word that Harry is going to bring this evening. And we're prepared to receive it and be blessed by it and instructed by it, Lord. We thank you for that word that you've placed into Harry's heart. It's going to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I drive past a lot of churches on my way going back and forth to work. I don't know why it seems that way, but there seems to be a lot of churches on the path that I take. So I always read their marquees, you know, their signs out front. And some of them, they come up with some pretty clever little things that they put up on them. And some of them are, you look at them and you say, why would they put that up there? But I was drove past, I'm coming home today, and I drive past St. Bernadette's over there on 10th Avenue. And on their marquee, it says, turn away from sin and to God. I looked at that, I said, hallelujah. Yeah. That's a sermon in one sentence right there. You know, that's it in a nutshell. Turn away from sin, turn toward God. In other words, just do the right things right. Do them right, do them because they're right. Yeah. In fact, you know, and I was reading in Titus this morning, Paul is passing on some instructions to Titus, who was his pastor and minister on Crete. And he's just giving him some just things that he is to teach and that he is to reinforce to the people. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith. He goes on about teaching the older women to be reverent in the way they live. And we move on through this. He says to encourage the young men to be self-controlled and everything, set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech. Teach slaves to be the subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them and not talk back. And he goes on. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Going on over into chapter 3, it says, remind the people to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good. In other words, do the right thing. Do it right. Do it because it's right. Turn your back to sin and turn toward God. The basis of the whole book. In a nutshell. Harry? I always wait till he gets to thinking, well, Bob's going to be talking another 5 or 10 minutes and he gets comfortable.
Thank you, Bob. Well, tonight's going to be a little different. We're still on the same subject of praising and thanking God for everything, in all things and for all things. Now, before we start, there's a few things that I'd like to get out of the way or want to talk about. One is that Bob and I had the pleasure of baptizing a young man yesterday evening, and it was quite comical. Turn on your mic and tell him what happened when you walked into the recreation center. I walked in first, and I said to the guy, I said, so I'm here, and I said, we're just going to be here for about 10, 15 minutes. We're just going to have a baptism. Oh? Huh. Okay, so then I walked in and put my stuff away. Bob walked in, and I wasn't there. Go ahead, Bob.
By the time I walk in, then Harry's out of sight. He's gone back to the locker room. So I thought, well, I'll just wait here for a minute. And the guy behind the desk, he looks at me and says, can I help you? And I said, have you seen my counterpart come through here, my partner? Older gentleman, tall, good-looking guy. And he said, oh, yeah, he went back. He checked in already and went back. He says, are you part of this baptism? I said, yep. And the guy gives me that scrunched face look. You know, and I said, all right, we're not bringing an organ. We're not bringing a choir. Okay? We're just, I'm going to take this guy down into the pool about this deep. I'm going to talk to him for a minute. I'm going to baptize him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And then we're going to praise God and go get dried off. You know, we're not going to desecrate your recreation center here.
It was comical.
But we've got another comical thing going on, too. It's comical, but it's great because it's fun. See, the board meets every other Monday night, and we go to supper over here at Westwood Inn. And they know us over there. They got the coffee pots fired up and loaded before we even get there. They're ready for us. But, you see, we're developing a relationship with these people over there. And we're witnessing to them. We were praying for the guy who normally takes care of us while we're there. We were praying for him, though. He claims to be a Buddhist, but he was glad to receive our prayers for some situation he's got. And the encouragement, you know, through the Holy Spirit that we're giving. So what we're doing is we're taking this place hostage in the Holy Ghost. And we keep on going to supper there long enough, we're going to convert the whole restaurant in the name
sure.
of Jesus.
That's right. We had a... I remember asking...
It's a gentleman that Harry knows. Yeah. This is a guy. Tell him the rest.
I will. I'll tell him what. A real neat guy. He's really on fire for the Lord. He goes to Lutheran Church. His wife is Catholic. He was Catholic, I think, or was. I don't remember how that worked, but he works with a Catholic group. He's in the printing business. And he's one day, my daughter had called me and said, would you go pick up something from such and such a place? And I went and found it and picked up some of the printing that she had done for her desktop publishing that she does. And I met this young fellow there. And I says, my name is Harry Clausen. I'm with EPS Digital. And I says, my daughter wants me to pick something up. Oh, yeah, you're Lori's dad, aren't you? And I says, yeah. And he says, have you seen Mark? I says, no. Mark was a friend of his, but I know who Mark is because I went fishing with him quite a few times with a bunch of other guys, Barry and my son and some of his friends. Well, I got to know Lee through Mark and my daughter. And it was about 3 weeks later I got a call, and my daughter tells me that Mark had passed away. Went to the funeral and the whole thing. And a day or two later, I had to go pick up some more printing from this fellow. And Lee was a mess. It was his partner. And those two guys loved each other. They were really bosom friends. And Lee stood there and he says, Harry, I can't keep going. I just can't keep going. And I thought, boy, if any young fella needs help right now, that's him. So I stood and talked with him. And I must have spent about an hour and a half with him. And from that day on, he and I got along very well. I really like this fellow. And I think Bob likes him too, because he's a very intense type of person. He looks at you and he's watching everything that you say and how you say it, and he's really into it. Anyways, because of what I had done with him, he and I kept up. And then he moved because of his partner gone. He didn't have the guy out in the outside doing all the buying or the selling of stuff. So he had him sell his business, and he went in with this company called One Stop Printing. Good outfit, real good outfit. Good people, good people. Anyways, I'd see him there, and I'd pick up stuff, and he'd talk, and he always wanted to visit a little bit, so we got to know each other. And then one day he called me. He says, "What do you think about baptism? What is your opinion of baptism?" He says, "Do you have to be immersed?" And I says, and I knew he was Lutheran, so I thought, how do I answer this without being obnoxious or being nasty? I didn't want to do that. I says, if you look in such and such a, I can't remember what it is right now, if you look in such and such a scripture, I says, you'll see that it says, when Jesus came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord descended upon him as a dove. And I says, now, if you come up out of the water, it's not sprinkling. It's not baby baptism. Yes, Jesus did it when he was 33. He was dedicated at the church, at the synagogue, at the temple, when he was young. His mom and dad took him to there. But then after that, I said, he got baptized by John the Baptist. And so he says, so it means immersion. I said, is that the way you read it? He says, well, that's the way I see it. I said, okay, that is immersion. He says, I can't get anybody to baptize me. Not in my church. He says, they won't let me. He says, they say that I've been baptized when I was a baby. I said, when he was young. And he says, they will not do it now. And he says, I want full immersion baptism. I said, well, that can be arranged. And I says, I've got a pastor that I says, that's good. He'll do it. Sure enough. Asked Bob. Oh, be glad to. Where we went. Last night, we got it done. And this young fellow called me this evening about 4 o'clock. He called me, he says, I want to thank you guys. Boy, I want to thank you. He says, I know there is no doubt in my heart that when I go to heaven, you're going to be there, and I'm going to be there, and Bob's going to be there, and we're going to have a good old time. So there you go.
Yep. Well, you see, what happened here is this guy got to reading his Bible.
Yep. That's right.
And he got a revelation.
That's right. He sure did.
Hallelujah. The Word became flesh. And he wasn't about to let any religious traditions, principles, or doctrines stand in his way.
That's the beautiful part.
Yep.
That's the beautiful part. That means that the Holy Spirit's working in him.
Yep. He was just almost in tears. The Spirit was moving on him so heavily.
That's right.
You know, it was great. It blessed me to no end.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We're going to pray for him. I got a call from Jean. Jean said that she's having a problem with her hip, that she fell a couple times today, and she's walking around with her mother's walker. So she says, I'll see you on Sunday instead of tonight. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you more every day, because it's all about you and not about us. It's what you're doing in people's lives, and that we can see these things happening. And I thank you so much for the opportunity of being with Bob and Lee in the baptism. That was a joy. That was a joy. And Father, I thank you right now that you are in the situation with Jean. We praise you and thank you that you are there with her, taking care of every situation. Praise your holy name. Praise you, Father, for you are in the midst of all of our situations and taking care of every little detail. Praise your holy name. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So, I have a few things that I want to go through here with you guys. As you know, that there was a problem at a school yesterday. You know, when I heard this thing last night, I thought, here we go again. And they're wondering how these things happen. Why do these things happen? It's coming back. It's always doing something, you know. Somebody's always doing something crazy all over the country, and we're getting this and we're getting that. It's people shooting people. What do they expect at these schools? What do they expect? They've removed God, and they want blessings. Are they crazy? Is there something missing in their lives? You bet there is.
Yep.
It's God. And then they wonder, why do these things happen? But we're going to do something that'll never happen again. You hear that every time. I guess they're trying to get rid of all the guns, like as if that's going to make a difference. You know, our God is being removed. Our Father is being removed from every situation. They're taking him out of the government. They're taking him out of the schools. A lot of organizations. Churches are removing God. They don't even want to believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if that's what they don't want, guess what they're going to get. There's more division in our government now than there ever was before. That's because there is no unity. There's no love. There's no love for the country. It's all for themselves. It's greediness. You know, there's another thing that we talked last week about the professor and the student. And that one really gets me is that, see, evil does not exist on its own. It doesn't exist unto itself. Evil is simply the absence of God. It's just like cold that comes when there's no heat, and darkness comes when there's no light. You can't get it any darker than just dark, but you can get a lot more heat. You can get a lot more light with greater intensity. Yeah, and this is what we're getting now is we have evil in our country, evil all over the world. People don't want to listen to God, and now they're going to suffer with it. It's a very sad thing to see. Okay, now that I've talked for 10, 15 minutes, now we'll get into the subject of the message, okay? I've got a message here. It's called the Complaint Department. If you remember way back, large department stores had complaint departments, a complaint clerk or a complaint desk or an office where they took your complaints to. And that was personal complaints or the product that they bought isn't any good. And you just took it back and said, hey, yeah, this is no good. And I'd like to get my money back, or I want to get an exchange for a better product, something's wrong with this one I got. This toaster doesn't work. Something's broken on it. It was simple. So you got it done. They take it back and forth. Everything was okay. Well, today we've got what they call a complaint desk or the service desk. And some of these guys are trained how to not get your money back, or they're trained not to accept the product unless you've got a receipt. You got this, you got to have this, you got that. Where's your guarantee? And they can make it tough on you. So what does it do when you go into something like that? Does it get you a little warm under the collar? What do they do when nothing gets done and the problem hangs around for a little period of time? I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to leave it in God's hands and just relax. So easy to say, but so hard to remember when you're in that situation. Huh? How about traffic? How does traffic affect you? Slow drivers going in under the speed limit in the fast lane. Or somebody sitting at a traffic light. It turns green and they're still sitting there. My son Barry had a little thing that he used to do. He'd roll down the window and he'd yell out the guy, "Hey, it's not going to get any greener." And I remember him saying that the first time. This guy turned around and gave him the one-finger salute, and Barry honked the horn and went around him. I don't know what was the matter with the guy, but he was sat there, and then he just finally drove away. You know, it's really strange how many things can irritate you. It is amazing. And they are such small, little things. How about the checkout lanes in the store? You've heard this one before, I guess. You're standing there, and then you see that there's one person there. Well, you go to this person with the shortest line, so you sit there and you wait, and there's some kind of a problem. And you look at that other line, and it's, they're just going right through. So you say, oh, I'm going to go the other lane. So you get on the other lane, and you stand there, and something slows down a little bit. you slowly shuffle forward. And then you see this woman finally gone. Another guy goes through in your lane that you were in, and he keeps on going. And they're going through one right after the other. By that time, I'm doing a slow burn. Oh, I tell you, I better quit while my senses are still intact. Yeah, let your wife go shopping. That's right. You know what I'm talking about. Pastor Bob talked about this just a little while back. You know, life is getting exciting, isn't it? Now, we give these little pet peeves a cute name, we call them, and we mutter under our breath and as we vent our spleen. Is this what God has given us to increase our patience? Probably. It may seem that it's just to handle the small stuff to see how you're going to handle the big stuff. He can give us more character building experiences every time we get in a situation like this. It's character building. We should look forward to each trial with anticipation of increasing our tolerance for irritations. Yes. Sounds impressive. But after studying the few lessons that I've been becoming more aware of my attitude in these small annoyances. And it is becoming very much aware. Tonight we're coming home, we're driving down here, and that light changes at the bottom of the hill just as I get there. Yes. Yeah. And Marie reached over and tapped my hand. I said, oh, I knew I wasn't going to make that. And she tapped my hand and I said, don't annoy me. Oh, dear. What a sweet girl. We need to keep in mind the way that God dealt with the Israelites in the desert because of their complaining. Remember that? It was severe, to say the least. When we complain, we are telling God that he doesn't know what he's doing. That's exactly what you're saying. Don't you understand? I'm in a hurry, God. Can't you see that I got to get... And away you go. Remember that he is in the midst of our situation throughout the whole day. That's 24 hours a day. No time off for coffee breaks or lunch. 365 days a year. Yeah. Now here's a thought. Listen to this. The effectiveness of a believer's testimony is directly proportional to the believer's values. Let me repeat that. The effectiveness of a believer's testimony is directly proportional to the believer's values. So what values are you living under? Are they the ones described in the Bible? Our God does not expect us to do something we are not capable of doing. He never tests us beyond what we're able. And he does test us. It's not testing, it's trials. It's putting situations in your path so to see if you are going to be able to handle this and handle that and just slowly build you up, like I said before, to build your tolerance for annoyance. He has given us the power of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving. We have authority over the enemy, and when the devil brings us a problem, we can remove it and get on with our lives. It's that simple. Well, he might test you a few times. He might give you a little bit of trouble here and there. But don't give up on that prayer. Just praise the Lord, and he cannot stand it. In Philippians 2:14, Paul writes that we should do everything without complaining or arguing, so that we might become blameless and pure. Every day we are bombarded with the sound of complaining on the radio, from neighbors, and sad to say, from each other. The habit is very difficult to overcome. We need to keep in mind that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, and God hears every thought and word that comes out of us. We have to be just mindful of this every day, every minute. You know, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on us, because I'm involved in this just as much as anybody else. Oh, Lord, we need you. Oh, man. Okay, now last week, Marie tried to get a product over the phone and got someone who didn't understand what she wanted. They went around and around. And finally, the man on the other end said he could call her back when he found it. And Marie hung up and she says, well, I don't know if he's going to call back. He still hasn't found it, and I guess he's still looking. I really wonder if he gave up. Marie is a very patient woman and wasn't even a little upset and did not even complain. But she was annoyed that it was so hard to get through to this one person. The next day she found another source with a very pleasant person on the other end of the line. Now, being very philosophical, she summarized that she wasn't supposed to buy from that other source. And this is the way we should look at all problems that arise. If it doesn't work out this way, let's do it that way. Just calm down, take a deep breath, go on to the next idea. There's always a plan B. God is not in a hurry. Then why should we be in such a hurry? Do you folks remember a singer by the name of Perry Como? Good. They called him Mr. Relaxation. Remember how he used to, when he sang, it was so calm and peaceful. And that's the way he acted all his life. That's just the way he was. Mr. Laidback, as they could call him. He was very easy about everything. Anything that came along, he'd smile and laugh and do whatever. It was just amazing how he handled himself. And I mentioned it to Marie that it'd be great to be like him. So why aren't I? Well, my excuse is this. They didn't make me that way. Besides, I can't sing like him. That's good excuses, anyway. I couldn't think of a better one. Each of us has our own hang-ups. And that causes problems in different areas. God made us each in just the way he wanted us to be. Now, we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And this is all part of it. This is all a part of it. We sang a song in this church, Lord, I want to be normal. I hope it doesn't come down to a theme song. Because if all of us were normal, we wouldn't have all this fun that we're having. You gotta have a certain amount of humor, and sometimes annoyances are humorous, aren't they? Except when they're happening at the time. I looked in the concordance for all the references on complaining and murmuring, and then what I found most is that it was against man or beast or weather, and it usually goes against the Lord because he is in complete control, and any one thing he may put in our path to see how we handle it, he's going to find out. We're going to find out about ourselves, and he's going to find out about us, and he knows exactly what our whole lives are made up like, and how we think, the things that we say, the things that we do. He watches over every bit of it. He's also very quick to forgive our shortcomings when we ask him. Thank God for his mercy and his grace. These are problems that are all in all walks of life. They're not so easy to overcome. But he always provides a way out. When we see that we're having a difficulty with any situation, try to get in your head immediately that there is another way. God has another way out. And you just ask him, Father, what's the way out of this one? What do I do? And you'll get your answer. I have seen this many times in my life. When I'm really down to the wire and I'm really on the cutting edge of something that's going to happen. Lord, what do I do? And he comes up with the answer. He always comes up with an answer. There was a businessman that made a deep commitment to Christ. A short time later, he got laid off from his high position and found that he was in deep financial trouble after a few months. he complained and groaned at the bills that he was kept piling up. Now, he went to a church meeting where there was someone that spoke about thanking God for all things and in everything, giving praise for the circumstances that's troubling you. And he told God when he heard that, he says, "Lord, I'm sorry for what I'm acting like. Please forgive me." That Sunday, he kept on praising and thanking God. And for there, and for where he was, he told God just the way it was and what he needed. And he needed his help. Well, Monday morning, the next Monday morning, he got a phone call from another firm. And they said, are you available? The guy says, yeah. He says, well, how soon can you start? He says, tomorrow. He says, well, be here and get ready to go. Now, when that businessman arrived at that company, he started telling the people of how he got the job. He was telling the rest of the managers and so on and so forth, the executive area. And he says, you know, the more you praise God, the more you thank God, the situations are alleviated. And it wasn't very long after that that the people in his office that he was working with became very sensitive to what they said, how they said it. The complaints were going downhill. In fact, they were just about disappeared. And the business thrived. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing what God can do when you just praise Him and thank Him and give Him glory for every little thing that goes on in your life? Like they say, just give God a chance and see those mountains move. It's amazing. Here's another story about losing jobs. This one involves a young school teacher that went on vacation and did not receive a letter that says report on a certain day and you have to be there. Well, she was on vacation, so she didn't get the letter. When she arrived at the school, she found out that she had no job. Somebody else had taken her place. Well, she came home, and she didn't know whether to go back to her parents' house or what to do, but she read about this book by Merlin Carruthers about praising God, thanking God for every situation. And this is a situation that she desperately needed help, because she had tuition bills to pay, she had her rent money to pay, she had her food that she had to buy, the heating and the electricity, the whole thing. So this girl was saying, okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do. So she started praising God, thanking God, the whole weekend. A couple of days later, she was talking to a lady over the back fence, a neighbor, and told this lady about the situation she's in, and she says, I'm just praising God. I don't care. So I'm going to praise God because I know He's going to have something better for me. And this lady says, well, that Christian school a couple blocks over is looking for a teacher, first grade teacher. The girl said, well, thank you. I think I'll go down and take a look. She went down there. She got the job, better pay, better conditions, more conducive atmosphere of love and everything else. She got a better job. Praise and worship. Thanking God for every little thing. Everything. Every time you come across a problem like this, and the minute that you start praising God and thanking God, you will have a release. You will have a lifting of a heaviness. It's happened with me many times. Didn't realize it, but I was doing it, but it happened. Be patient with yourself. Don't condemn yourself for what you've allowed. That's scripture. Be gentle with one another. Be quick to forgive. If you hear me complain about the pastor's long sermons, remind me what I'm supposed to do. The sermons aren't that long, though. We're okay here. This church is good. That's what I'm afraid. Just imagine how much fun it would be to praise the Lord while he's preaching. Oh Lord, that's great. We seem to think that our time is very valuable and God can't keep up with us. Well, good luck with that thought. God has a different timetable, and his ways are not our ways. He will put you up against the circumstances that will suit his purpose, not yours. Think about that. Because your ways are not his ways. Remember, it'll also give you peace of mind when you are active in the plan that he's getting for you. How else can you show pleasure to do as to how things are going? Does your face radiate the joy, love, peace in your heart? You know that a gloomy face does not please God. Look in the scriptures. Why is your countenance fallen, O my soul? Lift your spirit by singing songs of praise. Give glory unto God and praise his holy name. There's a little story here that's interesting. A young man and his family came home from church one day in the winter, and they found that the house was very cold. He went to check downstairs to check out the furnace. It was cold. He was muttering under his breath. He got upset. He told his wife, well, pack the kids up. We're going to have to stay in a motel. It's too cold in there. And then he remembered the message that he heard about praising God for all things. And he stopped. And he says, yeah, Lord, forgive me. So he praised God. And he said, Lord, I don't know what to do. Then he heard a voice inside himself that told him to go downstairs and check the fan. So he went downstairs and looked at the furnace and says, where's the fan? And the voice said, behind that plate on the left side. So he looked over there. Oh, there's a plate. Got a screwdriver and he opened up the plate. And he says, okay, now what? He says, look at the fan belt. And he took a look at the fan belt, and it came off the big pulley. And he looked at it, and he says, gee, well, yeah, it's off. And so he put the fan belt back on there. And then he got up, and he says, okay, now what do I do? Now he's totally into the Lord right now. He says, what do I do now? Turn on the switch. Turn on. Turned up the thermostat. On came the furnace. Nice warm flame. Fan started humming. Everything was fine. So he buttoned it all up and ran up the stairs and said, unpack the bags, we're staying home. Being very cheerful and happy about it. It's just a matter of asking. Now, I've done it, and I think Bill was with me one time when I was working on a machine. And I didn't know what was going on with it. And I said, I know that motor is no good. Took it down to a motor repair place. And they said, there's nothing wrong with the motor. So we went back and put it back on the machine and rewired the whole thing. And still wouldn't work. And I checked everything, the cable, everything, the wire, the switches, everything. I said, there's something wrong with that motor. I took the motor off and back down to the electrical place. Now, we went back the third time, didn't we, Bill? Yeah, it was the third time. I went back, put it back on, I thought. And we were wondering, what could be wrong now? And I thought, is there something that I don't remember? Well, I checked every limit switch. I checked this. I checked the whole machine over again. Took that motor off one more time, and I went back down there. I said, you guys, that motor is not good. There's something wrong. So finally, the foreman came out. He took the motor, he went over to the bench, and I could see it, and he's doing something, and he came back and says, you're right. The motor's in fault. He says, it's got a couple windings that are broken. Three trips. It's about 10 miles each way. And yet, you know, but the thing was that I was upset, sure. You know, what's going on? What could be wrong with this electric motor? But the thing that was most amazing is that when he told me that it was the motor, boy, that was a good feeling. I was right all the time. But you know, this is the crazy thing. As soon as you find out that you were right, up comes that chest, up comes a smile, and you're ready to go again. No matter how irritated and how hurt you were at the time, it gives you a good feeling to know that you're not losing your mind. Okay. Now, the more we act on the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is so important that we act on the leading of the Holy Spirit. And it's a small, still voice. It could be a loud voice. I've heard that voice. But we also get stronger, and our faith grows, and our confidence, remember this, your confidence in God grows steady. Now, I've got one more story I'd like to tell you about a woman. And this one really touched me. It's about a woman that was born without a fully developed arm. Now, this caused her much agony through the school years, and she was very embarrassed in the public. And she always covered her shoulder and arm with a shawl. I'd say it was probably a thalidomide or something like that, I don't know. And as she grew older, the shawl was always present. She attended a church service that spoke on the giving of praise and thanks for all things and for everything. Now, this gave her some very resentful feelings and wondered how she could be praising God for her condition. You can imagine. You can just imagine the agony that she'd be going through. You know? This is embarrassing for her whole life. Now, she's an older woman. She's going to business, you know. She's in a business situation. And I can imagine what it's like. I can just imagine what that would be like. So she decided, okay, Father, I'm going to give you praise and thanks. But she said, Lord, I'm just not going to go out in public without that shawl. But I'll praise you and I'll thank you. So she did that the whole weekend. And then next Monday, that Monday morning, she got up, ready to go to work. And she was going out the door, and she grabbed the shawl and put it on. And she was about to go out the door, and she heard that voice. Are you ashamed of what I made you to be? And she stopped cold. And she says, oh God. You can just imagine the turmoil that would be in her mind at that time. And then the voice said, leave the shawl at home. She said, well, okay. So she decided that she'll leave the shawl. She put the shawl down, and she walked out the front door. As she's going up the front door, she says, but Lord, by the time I get to the end of that sidewalk, I'm going to come running back for it. She never heard anything. So she opened the door, stepped outside, closed the door behind her, and suddenly she felt the greatest release of pressure that was built up in her body for so many years. Just went, gone. And she joyfully went to work. That shall never be feared again. God, in His mercy, knows how to release people. And we have to learn how to release things in our lives. These lessons on releasing problems, it takes time sometimes. Some of the things that we have, some of the problems that we have, we think there's no end to this, you know. I'm going to have this problem all my life. No. That is not true. God is merciful. God wants every one of us to live the abundant life. There is no other way to live. If you want to live under pressure, under stress, depression, then don't give it to God. Just keep it to yourself. But don't complain to others. Because if you do, you might have somebody tell you, what are you complaining and murmuring about? You might get a little bit of feedback. Small personal problems can be alleviated also with humor. I know Bill has got a sense of humor, and he and I get together on the phone sometime, or we go out for coffee and we're talking, and Bill will always have some quip, some silly little thing, and we can sit there and laugh about some of the problems. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, gee, you know, it's so good to have a friend that has a sense of humor. A lot of times we do sit and complain to each other. Oh yeah, we sit there and murmur about different things, government, whatever. But then we have to remember that, that's not the way to go. And humor does alleviate pressure. Like that one time when I was on the airplane, and I was sitting in my seat. I was between two seats, and there's this little boy in front seat there, and he stood up and turned around and looked at me, and he looked at me and says, "How come you got such a big nose?" Well, you know that, you know, everybody just went, everything went quiet. Everybody was talking for a minute, but at that moment, the whole plane went dead silent, you know. And I sat there and I thought, "Oh Lord, what do I do with this one?" You know. And I, without even thinking any further, and then his mother grabbed him. I mean, she grabbed him, and you could hear him hit the seat. Kaplump. What's this? You can't say anything. You can just hear her. She was all a twitter. I'm sorry. She was totally wrapped up in it. And I finally decided that I was going to have some fun. So I leaned over the seat and I said, "Hey, boy." He looked at me and he says, "It's because I told lies when I was a kid." So, everybody in the plane, especially the guys beside me and around me, they were laughing. Everything. They thought that was really cute. They thought it was great. Okay. And I could sit back and I could relax. And now I'm feeling no pressure whatsoever. I got people laughing at it. It's okay. The minute you can get to laugh at yourself, laugh at people, with people, not at them, but laugh with them, you can enjoy it. You can enjoy the situation that you're in. It is amazing that God gives you a sense of humor at a time when you need it the most. Not just telling jokes, but enjoying yourself. Enjoying the problems that you're in. Murmuring and complaining, that is to be the furthest from our minds. It keeps the Lord from helping us in time of need and from walking with a close relationship to Him. A healthy attitude towards life will create the abundant life that He promised us. And Father, we thank You for this lesson. Amen. Father, we thank You. We praise You. And I pray that these words will help other people to show them that everything is not so serious, that you can't have fun about it. But murmuring, complaining is against Your will. And we need to be a closer walk with You, Father. And we can do that without murmuring. Father, I want to say a special thanks for Marlon Carruthers and his book on Prison to Praise, The Power of Praise and Worship. This has opened my eyes, Father, in so many ways. Thank You for Your enlightening me through him. And Father, we thank You for the time that we've had in this study. We give You the praise and the glory. And we know that praising You and thanking You for all things is a lot easier than complaining, murmuring, and having that burden in our hearts. You didn't make us strong enough to carry a grudge. We just don't have the strength for it. It tears us apart. It tears us up. And we become ill over the whole thing. So again, Father, thank you. Praise you. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Harry. I was sitting there listening to you, and I was just had come to mind some things, conversations I have with people, and they'll say some pretty interesting things like, well, I think God is telling me. Well, you think, do you not know? Well, I think, but I'm not sure. Okay, does it match up with what's written in the Bible? Well, yeah. Okay, then what's your problem? Or, God told me. Well, have you done it yet? Well, no, I'm waiting on confirmation. Yeah. People are silly. But another marquee I saw in another church a while back said that the best measure of a sermon is its depth, not its length. Well, that's the best measure of us, too. That's what God looks for in us, is our depth. And you know, he doesn't really ask a lot from us. He asks for some faith. He asks for some obedience. And he asks for some praise, and he asks for some worship. And just like I was reading out of Titus at the beginning of the service, none of those things he's asking for are really difficult if we'll just do them. Oh, sure, sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we find ourselves in great trials and temptations and, you know, where we're really laboring and really struggling with some things. But by and large, it's really not difficult if we'll just do the right things right. Amen.
Amen.
You got something to give God glory for, don't you? I can tell because you got that give God glory look on your face.
Honey bun, come on out. I think this is an interesting testimony because God triggered something that some conversation that we had, and I didn't even know it happened, but Donna wrote a new song. And so the words were so good, I just wanted to go for it here.
Yeah, the other day I was leaving to go somewhere, run some errands, and one of us, I don't know which one, said the first sentence and then the other responded, but the first sentence was, something good's about to happen. And the response was, yeah, because the enemy's attacking.
Amen.
Right? And so I'm like, ooh, there's a song in that. So I'm going to read like a poem, and then I do have a praise report. Something good's about to happen because the enemy's attacking. I can feel it in my bones and in the air. Then I put my trust in Jesus, for his love will surely free us. In his arms, I know there's nothing left to fear. Something good's about to happen, because the enemy's attacking, and he tries to rule us through this earthly flesh. But I know what he is up to, and I know there's nothing so true as the love of God and Jesus' righteousness. Something good's about to happen, because the enemy's attacking, but he's lost before he even starts to fight. For our God wins all the battles, and our Lord is always faithful. And his word unto our path will be a light. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I want to share a praise report. Because you know what Harry has been preaching over the last few weeks. But whatever it is, you give God praise. Well, I called my dad yesterday. He's in Arizona. And I got to just chatting. And then he said, I haven't been feeling very well. I've been kind of sick. And I'm thinking, praise God. He's sick. There's some reason for this. Well, it turns out they went to Mexico last week. I did remember this afterwards. Barb got some dental work done, and they ate in Yuma, which is a border town, or basically a border town in Arizona. And he comes home. When I talked to him on Thursday, he was fine. But Friday, apparently, he got really, really sick, and it was just like this projectile vomit from Friday supper time right through till like 9 o'clock Saturday morning. He'd, you know, no more get himself cleaned up and it would start again. And he couldn't eat. He couldn't keep anything down. He was feeling really puny is the way that Barb was describing it. And all the time he's telling me this, I'm like, okay, praise God. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason I even called. I mean, it seems kind of crazy. I don't usually call that often. And he wasn't going to call me and tell me anything was wrong. It got to the point where he couldn't keep anything down and anything. So on Monday, they ended up going into emergency. Had some blood work done. They put him on a saline IV. Turns out he has hepatitis A. Apparently, you contract that. It's either air or it's food or waterborne primarily. Usually you get it by eating in a restaurant where somebody hasn't washed their hands after they went to the bathroom. And he said, and here's the really bizarre thing, and that is that the restaurant they ate in, Barb ate exactly the same thing that my dad did. And she has not gotten sick at all. But the blood test confirmed that that's what it was. That's what the doctor suspected when he was looking at him, and they did some blood work, and sure enough. So all this time, and even when he said hepatitis A, that's such a scary thing because you hear about hepatitis C, but this hepatitis A, apparently it lasts anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, and you do recover, and he was feeling much better since he'd gotten rehydrated. That was the worst part of it. And his biggest thing that he hated the idea of was, you know, he's reading on the internet, and it says here I'm not supposed to drink alcohol for 6 months. I said, oh, Dad, that sounds like an awful thing. That's a fate worse than death. But here's the end of the praise report, or maybe it's the beginning of it. I said to my dad, can I pray for you here now on the phone with you here on the phone? And he said, yeah. I said, I think I'd like that. And that's the first time I have ever prayed with my dad like that. So, you know, and all the time when he's telling me this, and I can hear the Spirit is nudging me saying, pray for your father. And I'm thinking, I'm praying for him. I am praying for him. Pray aloud with him. And I didn't want to do it because I was afraid he'd say no, first of all. My dad is not a believer. But when he said, yeah, I think I'd like that, I thought, okay, maybe that's the only reason why this has happened. I don't know. God has something good planned because the enemy's attacking. And my dad knows where I stand with God. And so, you know, I covet your prayers for him in that. That he would see God moving through this. Because after I said amen, I said, Dad, expect it to happen. It's already been, amen, so be it. That's what it means. You are healed. You walk in health. Your body was created to walk in health. Expect it. Believe that that's what's going to happen. He said, okay. He said, I'll go for that or something like that. You know. So, anyway, I wanted to share that.
And the doctors say 6 weeks to recover?
Yeah.
And you went ahead and booked a flight?
I'm going there in March just to visit.
Which is 3. Yeah, so we know she's going to go and he's going to be completely healed before she gets there. Amen.
And I have to tell you, what Harry has been teaching on faith and praise and worship has been timely and has ministered to me as well. And I've been using it. And you know what you do when you do that? You're resisting the devil. And what happens when you resist the devil? He takes off like a scorched cat. That's what happens. And, you know, I have, in the last several weeks, I've kind of have been going through one trial after another after another. It's always something different, just like he did with Jesus. It is written. It is written. Well, at some point, we keep resisting him, and he will do exactly what the Word says. Leave you for a better time. Faith and praise. This is good stuff. Richard?
Yeah, yesterday morning, Stephen was saying he can't wait for Wednesday because T.D. Jakes is preaching at his church tonight, and he was hoping to get to go backstage and get prayed for. And I asked him, are you praying for God's will to be done or yours? He said, well, God's will is for my desires to be fulfilled. And kind of twisted that around, and I said, you need to really ask yourself, are you seeking God's plan for your life, or is it your desire that your plan is fulfilled? And I didn't get an answer. But
yeah. Does anybody need prayer before we go? Or are we in good shape tonight? Y'all looking good. You're a good-looking bunch tonight. Yeah, I believe we did.
But
we can again. We just thank you, God, that healing and restoration is done in the name of Jesus. There you go. All right. We thank you, Father. Thank you for our time together in your house. And we've enjoyed some laughs, we've enjoyed some serious, and we've enjoyed each other. And most importantly, above all, we've enjoyed you. So we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.